In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul tells us that if Christ is not risen, then our hope is in vain. At the very heart of our faith in God is the fulfillment of all of his promises, but then exceeding them by giving us new life in his Son, by conquering sin and death once and for all. Of course, we know this to be of the essence of our faith. We know this is what we believe. We know this is what the Church teaches us. And yet at times, brothers and sisters, I believe when we contemplate resurrection, the conquering of sin and death once and for all, the raising to new life that comes by the power and love of the Father and the obedience of the Son, it seems so fanciful to us because our own lived human experience is only of death, hoping in life, but hoping in life more, if you will, on a natural level than on a supernatural level. When man conceptualizes the reality of hope, oftentimes it is about desires or wishful thinking, but never actually believing that it's going to come true. I hope I win the $1 billion lottery, but even as I say that, I know that will not transpire. I hope everything will work out for the best for you, but really, again, wishful thinking as opposed to a true foundation in the promises of God and then living our lives accordingly. The Church teaches us that hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of God first and look for eternal happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit. The promises of Christ are rooted in the truth of that which he himself accomplishes, submitting to death on the cross and then rising to new life by the will of his heavenly Father. We who hope then long for, desire eternal happiness, eternal beatitude, the kingdom of heaven. We are not at peace until we find our peace in God. Our hearts remain restless until they are complete with him. And in truth, in heaven is where our glory rests. This is not our citizenship. This is not our final destination. This is not our home. Our home is with God, in him and him alone. And we must live in this world, not in a sense wishing that that might happen or wishing that that might come to pass, but actually governing ourselves and living in that hope. That hope is manifest in the things that God does. Therefore, when God asks us to hope in him, to rely upon the promises, he's not doing so in a way that is empty or meaningless. He has given us everything we need. He has shown us truly his power and his might, his glory and his majesty by what he has accomplished. And we, brothers and sisters, are allowed to share in that. So hope for us then is not something that might be in the future, distant and out of our reach, but rather a confidence in that which has already been accomplished, being accomplished in my life. Christ has died and risen from the dead. He has ascended into glory. These are real and true. Not what might be, what I wish would come to happen, but actually what has come to pass. And as such, I must live out of that. And this great feast that we celebrate of Our Lady's Assumption is rooted in that same hope. In all feast days surrounding Our Lady, our first disposition must be one of contemplation. Thinking about all of the great gifts, all the great promises, all the great virtues bestowed upon her. And then we think about what it is we are to do with that which has been given to her, that which she herself manifests. Her glorious assumption is a continuation of God making manifest our reason to be hope-filled. Not only is our Lord himself raised to new life, but Our Lady, never corrupted by the stain of original sin, assumes with her body intact into heaven. This was proclaimed by Pius XII, but it had been a held position of the Church from the very beginning. The Eastern Fathers especially spoke often about the power of Our Lady's assumption into heaven and what it meant for her to share in the glories of her Son, but as she always was, so she always would be for each of us. A model and an exemplar the first apostle, to receive all the fullness of the graces that God has bestowed upon us by conquering sin and death once and for all. When Pius XII promulgated this feast, he hoped for three things particularly. And again, he hoped for, meaning not that he wished they would happen, but he was confident that in rooting these in our Blessed Mother, especially in her glorious Assumption and in the proclamation thereof, these things indeed would come to pass. And so his first hope for was an increase and stronger piety toward our Heavenly Mother, and that the souls of all who glory in the Christian name may be moved by the desire of sharing in the unity of Jesus Christ's mystical body and of increasing their love for her who shows her motherly heart to all the members of this august body. That we increase our love and devotion to Our Lady. That we deepen our relationship with our Lord. That we become more attached to Holy Mother Church. And that this be true for all peoples on the earth. There is in this first hope that he articulates a clarion call to continue to evangelize. The church is never done in her work of transforming the world until everyone is a Catholic, not just a Christian, if you will, our separated brethren. That is not sufficient. It is this union with the mystical body of Christ. It is this union with this body here on earth was his first hope. His second one was that we would then look at our Blessed Mother and be more convinced of the value of human life in its entirety, and especially in a willingness to do the will of our Heavenly Father, an increased understanding of the value of human life, now then even more so in the present age. And finally, he says, it is our hope that belief in Mary's bodily Assumption into heaven will make our own belief in our own resurrection stronger and render it more effective. How might we gauge our strength, our effectiveness in clinging to the mystery of our Lord's resurrection and being able to share in that? By the confidence with which we live in this world. Why are we oftentimes paralyzed by fear and doubt? Why do we find ourselves concerned about what others think about us, what the world thinks about us? Why do we value the things of earth instead of contemplating and valuing the things of God? These are not rhetorical questions. But you must ask yourself, why is that so in your life? Because even if that is just a little bit a part of your existence, then you're holding too fast to the things of the earth and not understanding the glory that rests before you if you hold fast to God. Resurrection is not a myth. Resurrection is not told to make us feel better and to blind us to the difficulties of the world. The resurrection is at the heart of who we are, and it motivates us to continue to move forward, most especially in the midst of difficulties, trials, and crosses that we are asked to bear. And the first exemplar of that after our Lord himself is Our Lady. And she is there, as she always is then, to guide us and to safeguard us and protect us and to direct us and admonish us, if necessary. And so my exhortation to you as you go throughout the rest of this day is first to contemplate Our Lady and to ask the ongoing question, what is the nature of your relationship with Our Lady? Do you pray your rosary on a daily basis? Do you have some demonstrable manifestation of a relationship with her, some devotion, prayers that are part of your daily life? If you do not have them, then you need to have them. And then what fears in your life must be conquered? What deeper trust must be engendered? A trust and a confidence that is rooted in the glories of the resurrection, first our Lord himself, and now in Our Lady's glorious Assumption, and we too can share in that when and if we trust in the Lord. I say this not to gloss over any difficulties, any trials, tribulations, collectively or individually, but to give meaning to those. You suffer better when you suffer with the Lord. You triumph in your cross when you carry that cross in faith with Christ. Ask yourself, after contemplating Our Lady, what do I need to do to strengthen my relationship with her? And then, as she has done, through her intercession, pray also that you might as well. Allow your soul to magnify the Lord and your spirit to always rejoice in God, who is our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.